Welcome to Redmond Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo. Thanks for downloading and listening to the show. Here's what we'll cover in this episode for the week of April 14th. Microsoft's bid for Yahoo continues to grow hostile. Microsoft issues protocol documentation, Windows Live OneCare 2.5 beta, and Robotics Developer Studio 2008 CTPR released. And according to a report, a small percentage of CIOs are cutting their 2008 IT budgets. We'll head to the first news bits from Redmond right after this quick sponsor message from Citrix.
Virtualization is one of the most talked about technologies in recent history. You know the benefits already, but are your servers virtualized yet? Are you waiting because of the cost and complexity? There's no need to wait. Citrix Zen Server is the simple, low-cost way to get up and running now. In as little as 10 minutes, your servers can be virtualized. So download a free copy of Citrix Zen Server now. Just go to www.citrix.com/zenserver. That's www.citrix.com/xenserver and get your 10 minutes to Zen.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast roundup of Microsoft news and other IT happenings. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, and I'd like to thank everyone who downloads or streams this show or shares it with his colleagues. And be sure to listen to the end of the podcast to find out how to enter my weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. Now, here's what made headlines over at redmondmag.com last week. And we start off first with this crazy and ongoing MicroWho saga. In the first part of the week, Yahoo's board of directors got a letter from Microsoft's CEO Steve Ballmer over the weekend about Yahoo's slow response to Microsoft's proposed takeover bid. Ballmer's letter read, "If we have not concluded an agreement within the next 3 weeks, we will be compelled to take our case directly to your shareholders, including the initiation of a proxy contest to elect an alternate slate of directors for the Yahoo board." Yahoo's board followed with a response, repeating its earlier rejection based on the low MS bid. Midweek, Yahoo announced plans to conduct a limited test of Google's ad search solution, which immediately drew Microsoft's attention via public response. Brad Smith, Microsoft's general counsel, said in a prepared statement, quote, "Any definitive agreement between Yahoo and Google would consolidate over 90% of the search advertising market in Google's hands," end quote, which essentially intimated that Yahoo's deal would allow Google to approach violation of antitrust laws here in the U.S. Yahoo said it plans to test Google's AdSense for search service over a 2-week period. The test will tap just 3% of Yahoo's search queries from Yahoo.com in the U.S. And to close out the week, the Wall Street Journal helped to feed rumors that Yahoo was in talks to get rescued by a major deal with Time Warner. We'll have more developments in the MicroWho saga as they develop. In big fixed news last week, Microsoft said that it fixed a problem caused by some users upgrading to Vista Service Pack 1, in which they enter an endless reboot cycle. The glitch was associated with installation of a prerequisite called Servicing Stack Update. Microsoft had stopped releasing the SSU pending an investigation, and then last week the company began releasing the SSU again through automatic distribution. In addition, Microsoft plans to issue a pre-SSU update to prevent the rebooting problem associated with the SSU. In related news, Microsoft, as expected, rolled out 5 critical and 3 important patches for Windows Server 2008, Vista, Office, Internet Explorer, and other software as part of its regularly scheduled Patch Tuesday release. The 8-patch rollout is significant in that Redmond has now released 25 fixes in the first 4 months of 2008, a pace well on track to exceed 2007's 69 security bulletins. Also on the security front, the company released a public beta version of its Forefront Integrated Security Suite, codenamed Sterling, is scheduled for release in the first half of next year. The Sterling beta includes a centralized management component on top of Microsoft's next-generation Forefront security products. Those next-generation products include Forefront Client Security, Forefront Security for Exchange Server, Forefront Security for SharePoint, as well as the Forefront Threat Management Gateway. Forefront Threat Management Gateway is the future version of Microsoft ISA Server. It'll be built on Windows Server 2008, and Microsoft plans to release further details about it later this year. With Sterling making moves into the enterprise, home users can expect Microsoft to have them keep up with the security issues with the beta version of Windows Live OneCare 2.5. Microsoft said to expect very little difference between the beta and standard versions. Windows Live OneCare delivers a service that includes overall security, antivirus, and firewall protection, roughly priced at $50 a year. It can run on as many as 3 computers per license, according to Microsoft's FAQ. In other release news, Microsoft made available a community technology preview of its Robotics Developer Studio 2008. It's the third version of the robotics programming platform, which previously had been called the Microsoft Robotics Studio. Microsoft Robotics Developer Studio 2008 significantly improves runtime performance from 150% to 300%, according to Microsoft General Manager of the Robotics Group, Tandy Trower. Trower said, RDS08 will enable developers to write code and routines that rely on asynchronous message passing, providing for a more distributed runtime environment and expanding the potential for future robots to process and act on large volumes of information. According to a Microsoft release, RDS08 also adds support for distributed language integrated queries. And in our last news item, Microsoft released information on protocols used in some of its software products. The release is associated with the company's interoperability principles issued in February, whereby the company pledged to offer open protocols and open APIs to help software developers create products that work with Microsoft solutions. Microsoft claimed in a press release to have released more than 14,000 pages of what it calls preliminary versions of technical documentation for some of its applications. The documentation describes protocols used in Office 2007, Office SharePoint Server 2007, and Exchange Server 2007. The preliminary versions of the protocol documentation will eventually be released as final versions. Microsoft's announcement outlined a 3-step process to get there. First, Microsoft is posting the preliminary versions. Next, it plans to gather comments on the documentation from the developer community until June. At the end of June, Microsoft plans to post the final versions of the protocol documentation, plus patent licensing terms. Up next, we'll have news from the far reaches of IT. Do remember to listen to the very end of the podcast to find out how to enter the T-shirt giveaway. You're listening to Redmond Radio. Enjoy listening to this program and staying informed with what's happening in IT, please pass this show around to your colleagues. Before we finish with the rest of the podcast news, here's an update regarding what's online on the Redmond Media Group websites. In Redmond Magazine in April, how user groups are gaining in power and how you can network with them to gain an IT edge. And in Redmond Channel Partner in the April issue, how partners can profit from the green computing push. And finally, a reminder to listen all the way to the end of the podcast for details on how to enter our weekly Redmond T-shirt giveaway. Now let's check out some newsworthy IT items from the last week. Federal mandates for issuing interoperable electronic IDs to employees and contractors soon could spur the adoption of digital certificates and the use of public key infrastructure throughout the country, one industry observer predicts. Some states have been issuing IDs compatible with federal personal identity verification cards to emergency personnel, and one state has cross-certified with the federal PKI bridge for authenticating digital certificates. Peter Bello, Senior Vice President of Federal Sales for Intrust of Addison, Texas, predicted that states soon will begin including digital certificates and IDs issued to citizens that would be interoperable with state and federal systems and also could be used to access commercial services. Bello predicted that the certificates could begin appearing in driver's licenses in the next 12 to 24 months as states begin retooling their licenses to comply with the federal Real ID mandate. Here's a sobering factoid. More than 80% of IT, security, and business executives said that their organizations have shied away from business innovation opportunities because of information security concerns. That fact, said Art Coviello, RSA president, comes from an independent survey from IDG, commissioned by Art's company. Coviello used that fact to kick off last week's RSA conference in San Francisco. During the keynote, Coviello also called on the U.S. Congress to spend more on education, to produce better trained developers and IT workers, and to establish a breach notification law that creates a single federal standard and a national standard for safeguarding sensitive information. He added his hope that the House of Representatives would pass the cybercrime bill that was passed by the House back in 2007. Symantec was at the RSA conference too, and they used the venue to release a pair of reports that reveal how employees use company time to check their own Facebook and MySpace pages, and in which that could imperil some enterprise environments, especially given the rise of browser-based hacking and concerns about security in the Web 2.0 era. Symantec culled its findings from several sources, including data gathered from network monitoring software in the hundreds of countries where the security software consultancy does business. Symantec also relied on research gleaned from third-party resources, such as other security firms, exploit research sites, and its own security monitoring blogs. The report covers statistics gathered for the period between July and December of 2007. Among the key findings in Symantec's Global Internet Security Threat Report are some staggering numbers, including the 711,912 new threats discovered in 2007, compared to just 125,243 in 2006. Those numbers represent an increase of 468%. The report also highlighted several enterprise system weakness trends, which are germane to IT pros looking to balance the new work and life spillover into their IT administration space. According to the report, 58% of respondent documented vulnerabilities in the third and fourth quarters of last year affected web-based software or applications. Of those vulnerabilities, 72% were deemed easily exploitable. Those reports come on the heels of a related study conducted by Symantec last month that explores IT risk management and its relationship to the millennial or post-mainframe workforce. Symantec worked with Applied Research West to measure IT risk issues surrounding the emerging millennial workforce within companies in the U.S. The study took responses from 600 people who were split into three groups of 200. The groups were comprised of IT executives, rank-and-file millennial end users born after 1980, and members of what Symantec deemed the older workforce, which are people born before 1980. Here are a few of those findings. More younger workers of the millennial ilk, 66%, tend to access Web 2.0 applications, download file sharing software, and use interactive features much more frequently than their older counterparts. The latter are probably more busy, experts say, because they tend to be in managerial positions. This probably accounts for the large percentage of users on Facebook and MySpace during office hours. Younger workers also tend to take their work home with them on mobile devices, such as smartphones and Blackberries, storing backup files or even live workflow files on home computers, personal laptops, and home servers. Another important point that came out of this report is that 89% of the IT managers surveyed concede that enterprise risk in the IT space has increased over the last 5 years, and almost half of those managers think younger workers have something to do with that risk, posing a significant new challenge in the workplace, according to Symantec. Just one important item on the software development front, Borland Software released its Borland Silk 2008 product line, including updated versions of Borland Silk Test, Silk Performer, and Silk Central Test Manager. The refreshed offerings target software tests and QA operations and mark a significant evolution in the Silk family, originally acquired by Borland in the 2006 purchase of Segway Software. The Silk Test 2008 functional testing application lets developers create and run a wide range of manual and automated tests on application code throughout the development lifecycle. Core to the new version of Silk Test is the Open Agent technology, which provides a framework for Borland and others to add platform support, expand functionality, and enable custom extensions. And in our final item, a report released by Gartner shows that U.S. IT budgets are expected to grow in 2008. But about a fourth of those CIOs in the United States reported decreases in their budgets in the first quarter of this year. Only 10% of U.S. respondents in Gartner's first quarter worldwide CIO survey indicated that their budgets had increased in the first quarter, with the bulk, 65%, saying their budgets remained the same. For the 25% whose budgets were cut, 72% reported decreases of 10% or less. Budget growth on the whole in IT is slowing from 3.1 to 2.3% when compared with a previous Gartner survey conducted in the fourth quarter of 2007. It's a similar picture worldwide, where one-fifth of CIOs reported decreasing budgets. The Asia-Pacific region reported the strongest growth in the quarter, 5.98%. The report showed only 32% of CIOs surveyed had some sort of contingency plan in place for 2008 to address budgetary changes. And that's it for this week's episode of Redmond Radio, by the way. As usual, before we end the podcast, I'd like to once again remind faithful Redmond Radio listeners that you can win a t-shirt in my weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. It's real easy to enter. Just send me an email with the new t-shirt giveaway phrase, "I want a t-shirt," on the subject line of your message to mdomingo@1105media.com. That's mdomingo at 1105media.com. And note the phrase is "I want a t-shirt," not Redmond t-shirt as it has been in the past. Entries not sporting the new phrase will be ignored. This week's winner is Michael L. Thanks to Michael L. for listening, and good luck to everyone next week. That's it for this episode of Redmond Radio. I'm Michael Domingo. I'd like to thank Citrix once again for their sponsorship of this program. And I also want to thank all you listeners who continue to support Redmond Radio by streaming and downloading this program. See you here next week.